In 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 14, the first epistle of John, and in chapter number 4 and verse number 14. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry, we'll try and make the reading as clear as we possibly can. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 14. And the writer says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world." And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Back to 1 Peter, please, and in chapter number 3. 1 Peter, chapter number 3, and verse number 18. First Peter chapter 3 verse number 18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." And a final verse, please, back in the Gospel by John, and in chapter number 3. The Gospel by John, and in chapter number 3. John chapter 3, verse number 36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." He that believeth in the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. We trust this evening and know that God would add a blessing to the reading of his precious words. Simply to present the Lord Jesus to you from these verses that we have read together this evening, and very simply to think of them under three little headings. I would like to think from 1 John in chapter 4, simply this. We read those words that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world, and I want to think of a Son who was sent. The Son sent. From 1 Peter chapter 3, we read that Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And I want to think not of a Son who was sent, but I want to think of the Saviour suffering. The Saviour suffering. And finally, from John chapter 3 and verse number 36, we read those words, "He that believeth in the Son hath everlasting life." And I want to think of the sinner who could be saved. The Son sent, the Saviour suffering, the sinner saved. My friend, the greatest desire of our hearts this evening is that if you know not the Lord Jesus, that you might come to know him as your own and as your personal Saviour. And I don't know very many in the audience tonight, but I do want to tell you with all the love that I can muster in my heart tonight, I want to tell you your greatest need is you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Your greatest need is to have your sins forgiven. Your greatest need is that you're prepared for the great eternity. For each one of us, from the youngest to the oldest person in the room, each one of us are heading on towards the great eternity. And the question I want to pose to you at the start of the meeting tonight is this: eternity where? Eternity where? If life ends for you tonight, if God takes your final breath, the God who made us, the one God who created us, the one who holds our breath in his hand, if you took our life, if we were to breathe our last breath tonight, or to usher into the great eternity, where would it be? In the presence of God tonight. The Spirit of God works in our hearts, and you respond to the Lord Jesus this evening. Where would it be? If your life ended before the end of this meeting tonight, would every person go to heaven? Because on a day when you trusted the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, and you know you're going to be in heaven, what a prospect for the believer tonight to be in heaven with and like the Lord Jesus. the one who gave himself upon the cross, the one who has saved us from our sin, the one whom we're longing to be with and to see. And for the believer, tonight with assurance, they know that they'll be in heaven. But what about you tonight? Is that your assurance? Have you personally trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour? And tonight that you know that for you, that you will be in heaven at the end of life's journey. Or tonight, are you still in your sins, having never trusted the Lord Jesus, and you're still at a distance from Him? You're still in your sins. And if you never receive Him, then you'll never be in heaven. For my friend, the Bible says that not that defiles can enter into heaven, and as we shall see in a minute or two, you and I are unworthy. You and I are those whom the Bible describes as sinners, and we're at a distance from God because of our sin. But as you shall see in a minute or two, out of love for you and for me, the Lord Jesus came from heaven, went to the cross at Calvary, suffered and bled and died in order that we could have our sins forgiven. My friend, God loves you. He loved you so much that He was willing to give the best that He had. He was willing to give His Son. His Son was willing to endure, as we shall see, the sufferings of Calvary, in order that our sins might be forgiven, that we might be saved, that we might be in heaven, that we might be with Him. For His desire is that we would be. The Lord Jesus' greatest desire is that everyone should be saved. His greatest desire is that all men should be saved. Every man, woman, boy and girl, His greatest desire is that every person should be saved and be in heaven with and like Him. What about you tonight? At the outset of our meeting, is heaven the prospect for you? Because you've responded to the invitation of the Lord Jesus and you've personally trusted Him as your Saviour. John, writing here in 1 John chapter 4, he says, "We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world." John, writing out of an experience. John had the privilege of being with the Lord Jesus while He was here. John had the privilege of walking with Him. John had the privilege of hearing Him speak. John had the privilege of seeing the miracles which He had performed. And out of having watched and observed Him, and having understood that the one who was sent to be was the one who was sent to be the Saviour of the world. And John's writing of an appreciation. And he says, "We have seen, and we can personally testify, that the Father, that is God, sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, to be the Saviour of the world." My friend, this evening, the Lord Jesus, He came from heaven and came into this world of ours. I'm glad this evening there was one who came. The Bible says this: Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You see, He came from heaven, the place where He enjoyed communion and fellowship with His Father. And yet, out of love for you and I, He was willing to leave heaven. And the Bible says this simply: the Lord Jesus Himself said that I came down out of heaven. So the one who came down was one who was eternal, was the one who had no beginning, is the one who has no ending. And yet He came down from heaven and came into this world of ours, the world that He had created, the world that He had made. He was willing to come, and He came that He might be the Saviour of the world. Why do we need a Saviour? Why do we need a Saviour? As a result of man's disobedience, way back in the book of Genesis, after God had created everything and had looked down and saw that everything was good, there was one thing that man was told not to do. In the garden, he was told not to eat of one tree. For in the day that he ate of that tree was the day that he would die. And as a result of that disobedience, sin came into the world, and so death has passed upon all men, for all had sinned. And because you and I are sinners, and because you and I have sinned against a holy and a righteous God, unable to do anything for ourselves, out of love for each one of us, the Lord Jesus came that He might forgive us of our sins. that he might bring us into the family of God. And he came because he loved you and because he loved me. He came. The Bible says that he came to save. To save those who were sinners. My friend, I know that's not a popular thing to say today. But each one of us, the Bible says, no matter who we are, the Bible says there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you and I this evening, when we were born into this world, we were born in sin, the Bible says. And if up until this point in time our sin has never been forgiven, then we're still at a distance from God. But my friend, this evening, there's a God who loves us, but he hates our sin. But he was willing to send his Son out of love for us. He was willing to send his Son that he might be our Saviour, that he might deliver us, that he might rescue us from our sin. And the Lord Jesus, he came from heaven. He came down into this world. Hard for you and I to imagine that the Son of God walked in this world in which you and I live. But there was a person, there was such a one. And not only did he come down and did he walk in the scene of time, and not only did he live amongst men, but the Bible tells me that he was absolutely different from every other man who lived. For the Son of God was holy. He was pure. He was perfect. He had no sin. He had no sin. And yet, as we shall see in a minute or two, the one who had no sin was the one who was willing to pay the penalty for sin at a place called Calvary. And out of love for you and for me, the Son of God came. He came from heaven. He was born in Bethlehem. He lived a holy, a perfect life. And at the age of 33 and a half, he was taken to the place called Calvary. And the place where he died, in order that our sins might be forgiven. I wonder if you ever thought about the love of God. I wonder if you ever thought what it must have meant for God to send his Son from heaven into this world. Because he loved you. I can't understand that this evening. Why God would send his Son for me. But yet he did. Because he loved me. And he loves you. That he was willing to give the best that he had. He was willing to give his only begotten Son. John chapter 3 verse 16 says this: For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. My friend, this evening, I don't know about you, I don't know whether you feel unloved. I don't know whether you feel unwanted. I don't know whether you feel that nobody cares. I don't know the circumstances of your life. But my friend, I want to tell you there's a God in heaven who knows all about you. He knows what you're going through. He knows your every need. And out of love for you, he was willing to send his Son from heaven and to be your Saviour, to forgive you of your sins. And the Bible says that God has demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Son of God came, the Bible says. The Bible says when the fullness of the time was come, that God sent forth his Son. And down from heaven the Son of God came. And Mary brought him forth and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. He grew up. He went about healing people. And they were amazed at the things which he was able to do. As he gave sight to the blind. As he would make the lame to walk. As he had the power over death. Power over the storms of life. And as they viewed him and as they watched him and as they heard him speak, they couldn't point a finger at him. There was no fault in him. There was no sin in him. And yet, you would think one who was able to heal them, and one who was able to show his love and compassion towards them, they wanted nothing to do with him. They said, away with him. Crucify him. We will not have this man to reign over us. And they take the Son of God, the one who was able to give them life, the one whom they saw was able to impart life to a little girl who was dead, who was able to bring her back to life again. A young man who was dead and he was able to raise him back to life. The one who could give life to a Lazarus who had been dead for 4 days. He was able to give life. And yet, the one who had power and authority, the one who had love and compassion, the one who could heal, they wanted nothing to do with him. And perhaps you're just like that this evening. Perhaps you've heard the message of the gospel, and you've understood that God loves me. You understand, yes, I am a sinner, and I need to be saved. But I really don't want anything at this moment in time to do with him. And you're just keeping him at a distance. And you're perhaps saying one day, or another time, another occasion, and you're just like those in that day, and you want nothing to do with him. My friend, he wants to save you. And in order so to do, he has sent his Son, because he loved you. And the Bible says that when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, the Son of God, the one who did everything that pleased his Father, the one who healed and helped so many people, is the one who has now been taken by men, and hands have been nailed to a cross, and his feet have been nailed to a cross. A soldier with a spear has pierced his side. They've spat upon his face. They've plucked the hairs from his cheeks. They've put a crown of thorns and pushed it into his head. They've taken a whip and scourged his back. They have mocked him. They have buffeted him. They have done so much that he's almost unrecognizable as a human being. And the Son of God hath once suffered for sins. Think of the cruelty of the human heart. As we think of the evilness of men, as they have taken the Son of God, and as they have crucified him and punished him, and he himself allowed himself to be taken, that he might do his Father's will. But my friend, this evening, greater work was done. The Bible says that from the sixth until the ninth hour, there was a darkness over all the earth. And during those hours of darkness, God punished his Son. Yes, he suffered at the hands of men. As they endured physical sufferings upon that body of the Lord Jesus. When during 3 hours of darkness the Son of God was punished by his Father on account of sin. The things that you've done wrong, the things that I've done wrong, the things that I should have been taking the punishment for, the Son of God suffered for sins. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The prophet Isaiah says this, that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You see, it was him who was wounded, the Son of God. The prophet says he was wounded. The Lord Jesus, God's Son, was wounded. But he says, we are healed. We are the ones who had done all the sinning. We are the ones who had done all the wrong. And yet this evening, we are the ones who can be healed. Why? Because the sinless one bore the punishment for our sin, Peter says, in his own body on the tree. I cannot understand that this evening. We've been saying, give me a sight, O Saviour, of thy wondrous love to me, of the love that brought thee down to earth to die on Calvary. Oh, make me understand it. Help me to take it in. What it meant to thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. See, it was our sins. My personal sins caused the Lord Jesus to die upon the cross. Your sin, he suffered that. He suffered all the cruelty that men could do to him. And he has suffered once. This event will never take place again. The Lord Jesus Christ has died. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says this, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and on the third day he rose again. And my friend, I'm glad to tell you, yes, there was one who died, but I'm glad to tell you tonight there's one who's alive and who's in heaven, and he's interested in you and he wants to be your saviour. But I wonder tonight, are you willing to trust him? Are you willing to admit, yes, I am a guilty sinner, and admit, yes, that I deserve the punishment of God for my sin, but I understand there was one who loved me, and there was one who came and who suffered and took my place and died for me, and I'm going to trust him as my saviour? I wonder about it tonight, as we think of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus for you. Not that your sins could be forgiven, and not that you might be in heaven. He gave his best, he gave his only son. What will you do? The Bible says, as we read in John chapter 3, he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. I wonder tonight, have you believed on the Son of God? I wonder, have you personally trusted this one who came to be the Saviour of the world? Or tonight, are you still at a distance from him? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. My friend, this evening, it's good to know your sins forgiven. It's good to have peace with God. It's good to be the possessor of eternal life. It can be yours tonight through faith in the Lord Jesus. I wonder, do you have it? Has there been a moment when you personally put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, when he saved you? And you know tonight that you've believed, and all is well for the future. Or tonight, are you in the second part of the verse? And he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. My friend, the message of the gospel is in a person, and that person is God's Son, the Lord Jesus. He loved you. He came from heaven to be your Saviour. He suffered the agonies of the cross and the death of the cross, that you might not be lost and in hell and in a lost eternity. I wonder, where do you stand this evening? Amongst those who have believed and are the possessor of everlasting life? Or tonight, are you still in your sins and at a distance from God, and the wrath of God is hovering over you? And if the Lord Jesus fulfilled his promise this evening and came back to the air to call every believer to be with him, I wonder if every person in the room would go, or would there be one and more than one left because they never believed in the Son of God? My friend, this evening the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation. We're not promised another opportunity. You may have heard this message before, and you may have thought upon it, and you've put it off, and God has been good and kind another time for you to hear of his love towards you, how that you can have your sins forgiven. Well, my friend, how sad it would be if you were to refuse to accept the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, and you find yourself lost and in hell and in a lake of fire because you never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. What will it be tonight? There are only two places. A place called heaven for those who have trusted the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. Hell for those who refuse to accept him and remain in their sins and to find themselves lost, separated not only in time but for all of eternity. And how sad if you were to find yourself there, having heard of a Saviour who loves you, of a Saviour who died for you that your sins may be forgiven, and you refuse to accept him, and to be lost and in hell, and to have your memory, and to think of occasions when you could have trusted the Lord Jesus as your Saviour and you put it off, and you were almost persuaded Christ to receive, but you put it off, and you put it off once too often, and now it's forever too late. You're lost and in hell in the lake of fire for all of eternity. What will it be tonight? The Son who was sent to be your Saviour, the Saviour has suffered that you might have eternal life. The Word of God says, he that believeth on the Son, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Present possession, he has it now. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see the life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. My friend, this evening, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus, then I urge you to think seriously about these things. Consider where you will be in the great eternity, for we will be in eternity in one of two places. And depending on what you do with God's Son, the Lord Jesus, in time, while you have the opportunity, will determine in which of these two places you will be in the great eternity. It will be wise tonight. Trust him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Father, this evening we thank thee again for thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We bless thee again that he came to be the Saviour of the world. We thank thee again for all bowed in thy presence to know him as a personal Saviour. And we long tonight that every head bowed in thy presence might personally know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. We thank thee then for the opportunity of presenting thy word and for the opportunity of being together. And we ask you now to separate us rejoicing in salvation and with thy blessing, As we give only thanks for our Lord Jesus and his worthy and precious name. Amen.